The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, open them with me to the book of 1 Samuel. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. And I'll begin reading with verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but we're going to get in His presence. Verse 1, now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, the soothsayers, the witch doctors, the occult teams, devil worshipers, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. For they said, if we send away the ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty, but return with it a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why His hand is not removed from you. And so verse 10 says, then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. So they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and images of the tumors that they had been afflicted with. And then the cows headed straight. Everybody say straight. The cows headed straight. The King James said they went the straight way. They went straight way. I like that. They headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway lowing. You know, people cry, but cows low when they're sad and mad or want something. And they're lowing as they went and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them all the way to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat. These are the Israelis. They were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and they saw the ark and they rejoiced to see it. They rejoiced, King James said, greatly. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there, for a large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. I want to talk to you for a few moments about this remarkable story because I think it speaks to where we are today in this nation and in our world and many of you in your own lives. Because the children of Israel had turned away from God, God empowered their enemies, and the Philistines attacked, and not only did they do great damage and a great warfare that took place that cost many lives, but most importantly, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. They lost the Ark of the Covenant under the Old Testament. In the Old Testament was symbolic and tangible concerning the presence of God Almighty. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, His protection, His blessing, His favor, His provision was. And so the Philistines noticed that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to their nation and back to their God, they put it in the temple of Dagon, their God, a statue God, and they left it overnight and came in, and the Bible said the statue was knocked over and its face was broken up. And his hands were broken off and his head rolled off. Don't mess with God. When he said there will be no other gods above me. And they had placed the ark down here and this god up there on a pedestal, and God just threw them over, and they had to heave and hoe and pick their god up and get some super glue or something and put his nose back on. And God did it again the next night. And they couldn't understand, and they started asking one another, is this supernatural? Is this a supernatural thing? Is this God of the Israeli people, the Jehovah? Does he have the power to cast our God down? Or was it just maybe a breeze or something came through? Or maybe it's just a freak thing of nature. And so they were asking the question in this text because they had also, their economy had crashed. And physically, they had been hit with a plague, and it was devastating to them, and they were all suffering and in pain and sickness and economically ruined. The fields were drying up. The harvest was gone. And so they said, is this natural or is this supernatural? I guess if I've got a title, that might be what I'd call it. Is it natural? And sometimes a nation needs to ask those questions to itself. Is what's going on natural or is it supernatural? Is it natural? It seems like since COVID, that whole thing was like an unreal season. And America and the world has been kind of feels different now. How many of you feel that way? Everything's different. Is this natural? Or are we on and in a sequence of events that is rushing us to the greatest moment in history when the King of Heaven will step out on the clouds and say, Gabriel, blow your trumpet. Something is going on that is beyond just natural. Or they are saying, is it supernatural? And then they said, let's create a test for this God and this God who lives in this box. Let's get a cart and let's hitch up some milk cows who have just had calves dripping with milk, and let's put their calves, their newborn calves, in stalls and keep them separated and put the mother cows over here and let them be hitched to the wagon, and then take that Ark of the Covenant and put it on that wagon that they're tied to. And then let's not put a driver in the seat. And the baby calves will cry out to their mothers, and the mother has no greater instinct, has no greater innate. A mother will do anything when she hears her baby crying. Something in her will, in both of those mother cows, will make them go in the direction of their own flesh, and their will and their wants will be to go toward their little calves. But if they don't, and they turn and go the opposite direction of their wills and their wants and what their flesh is crying out for, and they start moving in the opposite direction away from what they ought to naturally go to, and they turn because of that God in the box that they've got, and they start moving back toward going to the border, back into the nation of Israel where it came from, then we will know that this is not natural. This is going against nature. This is supernatural, what is going on. And sure enough, they hitched those cows up. And sure enough, the Bible said they were lowing and crying for one another. And I could see those mother cows just mooing and lowing and crying for their babies. And the babies are crying, throwing their mouths open and crying for their mamas. And those cows, something happened when they loaded that ark on the back of that wagon. The glory of God went through the wood. The glory of God went through that wagon and it hit those cows, and what was natural for them to go to, what was normal for them to go to, suddenly they turned in a complete opposite way. The Bible called it the straight way. And they started marching into the promised land, leaving behind that which they thought they could never walk away from, and even their flesh was so connected to it that it could never be freed. They could never go away. That's unnatural. But that's what the presence of God can do. The presence of God is so powerful. In the ark, we had the Ten Commandments. The stones of the commandments written in stone by the finger of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They represent the holiness of God. It was there inside of that wagon, inside of that box. Thou shalt not make any graven images to bow down and worship. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Moral standards. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not covet. All of these moral values and standards were in that wagon. And then inside of that box, secondly, was not only the stone tablets, but it was the rod that Aaron had put in there that was a dead stick. And God said, the one that I choose will come to life supernaturally. Naturally, if a stick is cut off from the ground and cut off from life, and you lay it inside of a box and there's nothing in there that can give life to it, the stick will dry up and die. But this stick not only was alive, it was blossoming and producing supernatural almonds and fruit on a dead stick. That represents the Holy Spirit. The commandments represented the holiness of God. But that supernatural life-giving force of the Holy Spirit that takes dead things and makes them come alive, that takes people's lives that and marriages and homes and families that have no hope, and suddenly the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit has life-giving power. The Holy Spirit can heal your body. The Holy Spirit can renew your mind. The Holy Spirit can sever you from generational curses and addictions and bondages. And it can take that which is dried up and dead and bring it back to life. It is not by might. It is not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is the Holy Spirit that produces miracles and gives life-sustaining power to that which the world says should die. And then there was a little pot that had a piece of manna from the wilderness days when they got by with just enough every day to make it. And God said, I don't ever want you to forget that wherever my presence is, my provision will be. I want you to always remember that I am the bread of life come down from heaven. I want you to always remember that when you didn't have nothing and you turned your life over to me, I didn't bless you overnight. Sometimes I gave you just enough to get by. But you always had food and you always had clothes. You might have been eating some Spam and crackers. You might have been eating some second quality this and that, but glory to God, you made it. And don't you ever forget that I am your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Why would you doubt me now? I don't care what the economy does. If he's the God of your life and your finances, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will open up the windows of heaven. I will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I will cause men to give unto your bosom. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. If he's your provider, praise him right now. Praise him because he's got a house, he's got a car, he's got everything that you need. Hallelujah. It's all in his presence, from his presence. I have been young and now I'm old, Psalms 37. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging for bread. I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when you love me, but I'm blessed when you hate me. God is my provider. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Touch somebody and say, I'm so blessed. Look at these shoes. I'm so blessed. Look at this hair. Look at this. Come on. I'm so blessed. My God, I'm blessed. And I'm happy about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got the ark. Hallelujah. I've got his presence. He supplies every need exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That's what he's done for this church. That's what he's done for this ministry. It's supernatural. It's absolutely supernatural. Me and Richie used to ride down the road in our car going to revivals, my brother. And we would wonder, how are we going to make it? But we just kept on going and we had the presence. We had the presence wherever we went. Every time we walked into a place, revival broke out and it wasn't us, but we sought and fasted and prayed and we had the presence. The presence of God will make a way. I don't know. I can't hardly move off of this. I'm here to tell somebody you can be free. You can be free from worrying about tomorrow. His eye is on the sparrow, and he wants me to tell you he's watching you. Hallelujah. You're not on a widow's pension. You're not on a retirement that's dwindling down to nothing. You forgot Jehovah Jireh. Somebody's got their eye on you. Somebody's about to get an inheritance. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he said, I'll never let you go without. I'll take care of you. Be at peace about it. I got to keep preaching my sermon. I don't know where all that came from. I can see those cows looking and yearning, turning. But the presence of God made them, listen to this, voluntarily walk away from the natural tendencies. I just can't quit, Pastor. I just can't get free. I just can't stop. I just can't. I have these natural tendencies. Well, when his presence comes, he can turn you the straight way. I'm a man and I got needs and I can't, one woman ain't enough for me.
I know I'm married, but I'm a player. And I got to have me some women.
No, you don't. You got a demon in you, and you need to let us cast it out. And then you'll turn and straighten up, walk the narrow way. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can live holy in 2024. I'm telling you, you can be married to one woman for all your life. And you know what? You just have to get full of his presence and get a made-up mind and turn away and don't go left or don't go right. Just keep going like God tells you, straight way. You can get out of that lifestyle. You can get out of that misery. You can throw that vape down, throw that bottle down, throw that needle down, throw that depression and anxiety and mental illness tormenting you. I've come today to say the presence of God is stronger than mental illness. It can renew your mind. It can make dried up dreams come alive again. And you can live a new life. Go into your promised land with victory. Everybody take a praise break. Oh, I believe the ark is coming back to America. I believe the glory is coming back to America. I believe there's a bunch of people who are willing to say, as for me, I'm turning my back on this old world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and I'm coming hard after you, Jesus. The straight way. We're so full of compromise. We're so full of lukewarmness. We're so full of liberalism in our churches and in our theology. But I'm telling you, when his presence saddles you, he's going to turn you away from what you want. But the amazing thing is not I've got to, it's I want to, because I feel joy when I serve him. I feel peace when I serve him. I feel alive, hallelujah, when I'm doing his will for my life. Presence of God made them voluntarily walk a supernatural walk. They went the straight way, opposite of their desires, opposite of their wills and their wants. They went the straight way. They said, I am constrained by his presence to go this way and with my life and not that way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. This is not just something we started here. The Philistines are always watching us. They're watching you, they're watching me, and they're saying, is that real? Is that natural, just a big show? Is that just the lights and the music and some charisma, whatever it is? Or is it supernatural? I'm telling you today that we're sitting in a supernatural house that God has built. Do you know how blessed we are? Do you know how many people love and yearn and long for an atmosphere that is supernatural? That I feel his presence all over me right now. I don't know who's preaching. I'm kind of listening to myself. That's pretty good. Keep on. Hallelujah. We're not in this alone. He's with us. He's with us if we go the right way. He leads us. He guides us. He makes a way. He removes the obstacles. He opens the doors. There's no stronger instinct than that of a mother. But when the presence came on those cows, the old natural nature had no more hold on them. Those milk cows took the straight way. You can take the straight way. You can walk away from it all and be free. You begin to let the world in and go back to the filth that God set you free from, that almost destroyed you and killed you. Then you begin to experience a diminishing of the anointing. And this world does not need a diminished anointing. It needs a double portion anointed church. God, give us a double portion this Sunday morning at Free Chapel, because the world is watching us and we need to show them what a changed life looks like, a free life looks like, a joyful life looks like. When you begin to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus, they said it has to be supernatural. It's not just chill bumps and emotionalism. It's not just thrill, but there is something that got in the DNA of those cows that said, I love you. I enjoyed that. Still dripping with milk, but I got to go this way. I'm telling you, I believe in that. I believe that when you walk down these aisles right here and you really get born again, you can leave it all in this altar and you can know freedom like you have never known freedom. I'm almost done. But they were lowing as they went. It causes you to go straight when Jesus gets on your cart and on your wagon. You straighten up. Some of you need some conviction to come on you, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Many go that way, the text said. And the contrast is few choose the straight way. But if you choose it, God's grace saddles you. And he says, I'll give you the power to go against natural tendencies. And you'll love me, and I'll bless you, and I'll use you. Something is greater than lust. Something is greater than passion. Something is greater than addiction. Something is greater than alcohol. Something is greater than drugs. Something is greater than popularity. Something is greater than money. Something is greater than success. I got it. I got it. I know that's bad English, but I got it. It's the Holy Ghost. I wish I had a Pentecostal church. If I had a Pentecostal church, they'd shout, hallelujah. I don't know. I feel a spirit of rejoicing hit my soul. I mean, I'm happier than being in the club at midnight on Friday night. I'd rather be here at God's house praising my wonderful, worthy Savior. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Defying natural things. And the Bible said that when they saw those cows pulling that wagon loaded with the Ark of the Covenant, and the Israelites were in the fields reaping the harvest, and they looked up and they saw the cows coming with no driver. No driver. That the people in the fields started to greatly rejoice. It's coming back. It's coming back. This pitiful little dried up corn cob of a harvest is about to explode. These fields are about, oh my God, the grapes are coming. Oh my God, the joy is coming. And they started rejoicing, hallelujah, hallelujah, it's back, it's back. And those old cows came, and you know, it looks like you'd give them some oats and some sugar cubes or something. I don't know what you give cows, but man, I appreciate them bringing it back on their own voluntarily. But instead, you know what? They got so carried away that when they came, they said it was a big rock. And they said, we got the Ark of the Covenant back, that they took the wagon and tore it up, broke it to pieces, and built an altar on top of the rock. And then they turned and looked at those cows, those leaking cows, the milk still dropping out. And they said, you would make a mighty good sacrifice unto the Lord. And they slew those cows. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To give him your body and say, these hands belong to Jesus, these feet belong to Jesus, these ears don't listen to no blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blankety blank songs, and do this and get all down and shake it around and hallelujah. I'd rather hear, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. What's happened? I got the presence and it's turned me the straight way. I believe today that the ark is coming back. And we are going to remember what church is really all about. It's about what we're feeling right now, a joy unspeakable that supersedes all of our problems. You can have it. His presence is ready to touch you this morning. If you're in the overflow, wherever you are, at every campus, I have not lost my mind. I love Jesus. I still love him. I still really, really, really love him. And I feel this. If you've lost your joy, if you feel kind of beat down and hurting, if you want to get your convictions back and you want that holiness of God and that presence of God and that provision of God and that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that makes dead things come to life, dead dreams to live again. He's standing here with nail-scarred hands saying, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You're under it. You're taking the whole thing as though you have to solve it. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, who am I preaching to this morning? I don't care who you are. I'm opening up the altar. I want every person in this room who would say, my wagon is empty and I need to fill it up with God. I want you to get out of your seat and come down here as quick as you can come. Stand right down here. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've ever been here before, if you've never been here before, if you've got some natural tendencies that you'd like to see God deal with, if you've just been struggling, if you've just been in a hard place and it feels so dry and feels so empty and you're doing the best you can or you wouldn't be in church, but You really need a touch of God. That's what I felt. God really wants to touch His people. God really wants to touch His people. God really wants His presence in your home and in your family and in your car and on your way to work. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, come on. I want the church to greatly rejoice. Some are coming back to God. Some are coming back to God. Come on, bring Him your emptiness. Bring Him your brokenness. Bring him your inability to say no to it and say, God, I just need more of your presence. We're just going to worship. At the end, I'll dismiss you, but if you need to leave, I understand. Do what you need to do, but we're just going to worship. Get down here as quick as you can get down here, as close as you can get down here. That's powerful. This is about the fact that something powerful in the 9 o'clock service, and I've learned not to try to duplicate, because God, the wind goes where it wants to go, but something powerful happened in the second service during this time that was really, really strong anointing, that people began to get free. They began to, with abandonment, just let loose and worship God, and you could just see it coming all over the people. And they're going to sing those same songs. Were great this morning. Whatever you did, I don't even remember, but it's great. And we're just going to worship a little bit. Is that all right? Because we need His presence, and if anything will bring His presence, it's when a child of God turns and says, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. My Savior, I come to, I dare you to raise your hands all over this room, everybody in your home, wherever, in the prison, I need Thee. Oh, that's all you gotta say. He'll come running. He loves you. Every hour I need. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. One more time, everybody. I need Thee. Come on, make it a prayer. Oh, cry out like the leper did, like the blind. Every hour, guide me and lead me, I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, You're my Savior. Yes, you are. I come to. We got to sing it just one more time with hands raised and hearts. Close your eyes, forget about everybody, make this your personal cry before the throne. I need Thee. Oh. just come to the. I want you to, we're going to turn this into a house of prayer for the next 3 minutes. I want you to find two or three people around you, form a prayer circle. Lay your hand on your neighbor, somebody. I don't care what people think anymore. We do what God tells us to do. Just begin to pray. Sing it just one more time. I need the Lord. I need. Just one more time. I need. Oh, I need thee. Every hour. I need. Bless me now, say right now. Oh, bless me now, say right now. I need a blessing right now. Oh, bless me now. You're my Savior. You save, you redeem, you deliver. I come to my mother's womb. This song's gonna set thousands of you free. This song he's about to sing, something's gonna break off your mind and your spirit. Watch what I tell you. Sing this.
Did you unravel me with the melody, and you surround me with a song of
enemies.
From my enemies,
all fear.
Till all my fears are gone.
From my mother's womb, you say.
And from my mother's womb, you had chosen me, and love has called my name.
I've been born again.
And I've been born again to a family. Your blood flows through my veins.
I'm no longer, we sing.
'Cause I'm no longer a slave.
That's it.
To fear.
That's it.
your children, the fear about your finances.
Is that the first?
You have chosen me.
Raise your hands all over this room. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He cares about you now. He's going to bless you.
Your blood flows.
He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you.
From my mother's womb. From my mother's womb. You have chosen me. And love has called my name. I've been born again.
I'm born again.
I've been born again.
I'm born again. I'm born again. Give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We take your presence with us as we leave this place. Load our wagons up with the ark of your great presence. We don't have to fear when you're with us. You said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end. Oh, I praise you for that. Oh, I praise you for that. Bless your people. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. It's been tormented with a fear and a worry and a concern. We just cast it at your feet now, Jesus. We just unload it off of our wagon and we put your ark on our wagon. And wherever that ark goes, victory comes. And we praise you today for your abiding presence. For the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that gives life to dead things. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, Jesus. I surrender all. I yield you the reins. I give you the reins. And where you lead me, I'll follow. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, addiction. Goodbye, depression. Goodbye, iniquity. I'm going the straight way. By God's grace, I'm going the straight way. I'm not going left. I'm not going right. I'm going the straight way. In Jesus' name, I am free. I am a child of God. Rejoice greatly. That means the ark has come. The ark has come back to your life. Rejoice The proper response is to rejoice greatly.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.